Good morning. Today we're continuing our Kairos sermon series on hearing and responding to the voice of God. Now, Kairos is a Greek word used in the original Greek New Testament and in the Greek translation of the Old Testament to talk about time. But it's one of two words that are used to talk about time. Chronos is the other, which refers to time in its chronological sense. But Kairos refers to specific moments in time. A Kairos is a moment of significance, when something important is happening. Often in the Bible, when we see the word Kairos come up, it's referring to a specific moment where God is up to something. And those involved are called to listen and respond to what he has to say. And that's the point of this Kairos series. Right now, what might God be saying to you, and what are you going to do about it? I'm going to get right into it today with our scripture passage from the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. I'm going to zone in around there. Now, I love this story. It's kind of a weird little story. Paul and his companions Silas and Timothy, as we found out a few verses earlier, are on a missionary journey, and right as they get started, it gets interesting. They're traveling from the province of Galatia, and they're coming down into Asia to preach the gospel, and the Holy Spirit says no. Okay. So they turn their sights north, towards Bithynia. And go preach there. But as they go, the Holy Spirit once again says no. We don't know why, but for some reason, the Holy Spirit has a vested interest in them not preaching in these places. It's not until Paul receives a vision of a man out west from Macedonia calling out to him, "Come and help us," he says. And so they conclude that this, in fact, is where God has wanted them to go preach the whole time. And so they set out to go preach in Macedonia. And what's implicit in this passage is that along their journey, there's a discernment process going on. Now, I think we often take for granted today that if we wanted to go somewhere, you hop in the car, turn it on, and you could be there, a couple hundred miles away pretty quick. But this was not the case. In biblical times, you would go by foot or perhaps by mule. And so to travel around from these places would take days, perhaps even weeks. Time during which Paul and his companions were seeking actively what God's voice was, what the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the will of God were for them as they sought out to preach the gospel. So we're getting a look into their collective discernment process as they sought out the will of God. Now, preaching in Asia or out in Bithynia, these wouldn't have been bad things. There's nothing wrong with preaching the gospel. If you hear anything today, there is nothing wrong with preaching the gospel. Good thing, obviously. But this wasn't what God had in mind for them. He had something else. And the Holy Spirit was guiding them towards something different, something greater. And they had to say no to those things so that they could be available to say yes to what God really had in mind. And that's the major theme in this story that I want us to cling on to today. God doesn't just call us to do the right kinds of things. He calls us to live in step with the Holy Spirit. We're not to just be about doing good things. We are to be about doing God things. His will for us. Each day, in each decision, and in each circumstance. And we may need to say no to good things in our life to be able to say yes to the great things that God has in store for us. Paul, Silas, and Timothy were sensitive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, And so they knew when God was saying no, and they were ready when God was saying yes. Now, there are four things that I want you to come away with today. You can write them down if you want. I have a hard time remembering four things. So, tip from the pros. Number one, carve out space in your life to discern the will of God daily. Carve out space in your life to discern the will of God daily. Ask God to guide you in each situation in your life. Now, it's not uncommon for us when we face difficult times, hard choices, difficult decisions, challenges in life, where we feel like we're in over our head to seek God. God, I don't know what to do. Help. But sometimes when we feel like we've got it under control personally, like, oh no, I've got this, I'm okay, we rely on our own self-sufficiency rather than seeking the will of God. But God is at work in and through all circumstances, even the daily and mundane things. And so seek his will every day in the things that are coming up on your schedule. Most of our lives are lived in the daily and in the mundane. But don't think that just because it's mundane that God cannot be up to something significant. Now, this might seem abstract, but I promise you it's not. Here's a little example. If in your life you are going out looking for things to be offended about, I promise you that you will find them. If you are out looking for things to make you mad, I promise you that you will find things that upset you. They're everywhere. Conversely, if you are out looking for opportunities to hear and respond to the voice of God and to partner with him in what he is already up to in and through the Holy Spirit in the daily things of life, I promise that you will see them. Because God is not silent. He is active and he is speaking. And the question is whether or not we are listening. Number one, carve out space in your daily schedule to seek the will of God. And number two, include others in your discernment process. Do you think that God might be speaking to you, that he might be putting something on your heart or calling you to something? Talk to somebody that you trust and respect about it and seek their guidance. Be humble. Is there a situation in your life where you just have no idea what to do? You're in over your head? Talk to someone that you trust and respect about it. And in humility, ask for their guidance. Faith can be intensely personal. And our experiences with God, those kairos moments in our lives, even more so. Sometimes we don't know how people are going to respond to our testimony, to our experience with God. And it can be tempting to just bottle it up, keep it inside, keep it to yourself. But it is so crucial that we include others in our seeking the will of God. So surround yourself with godly people and seek their input often. When I was a freshman at West Valley, I started out as an accounting major, and you could see how well that worked out. I did not last long. I made the decision because I took an accounting class in high school, and it was pretty easy, and accountants made money. So in my head, easy, money, connected, my logic was flawless. That lasted me halfway through the first accounting class, where I knew very obviously that that was not the right choice for me. I let money guide the choice I made, and so that's not a surprise. What that meant was that I was now aimless. I had no idea where I was going, what I was doing with my life. And it was at this point that I turned to people I cared about, people I loved and I trusted, people whose faith I respected. My family, my friends. I even got together with my old small group leader from high school, Don. So what do you guys think? I don't know what to do. And I heard over and over and over again people saying, have you considered ministry? But the crazy thing was that I hadn't at all, hadn't crossed my mind. It had not occurred to me that God might be calling me into ministry. And it wasn't until godly people spoke that into my life that it occurred to me in the first place. Are you in a place in your life where you don't know what to do about a situation where you are seeking the will of God and feel like you are coming up empty? Include others in the process. And who knows? Maybe there's someone in your life who is just like me, who is just waiting to hear God speak to them, and he might use you. So please do not be silent. Include others in your discernment process. It's number two. Include others in your discernment process. And number three, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, talks about how God prunes fruitful branches so that the branches that are left can be abundantly fruitful. Number three is to ask God to prune your life. Ask him, God, what do I need to say no to so that I can be abundantly fruitful with what I say yes to? You know, we live in a place that worships the calendar. How often do you ask someone how they're doing and their response is busy? We can buy into the idea that having a full calendar means having a meaningful life. So why is it that so often we don't remember like what we did last Thursday or last week or last month? Our calendars can get full, but the question we have to ask is, are they full of meaning? Are we filling up our time with God's business? Or are we just filling up our time with stuff? Ask God if there are things in your life that you need to say no to so that you can be abundantly fruitful in the things that you say yes to. Number three is ask God to prune your life. And the fourth is this. When you have confidence that God is speaking to you, act. Do something about it. God's voice merits a response. And here's my encouraging word for you. Adverse results are not a sign that what you are doing is not the will of God. Does anybody know what the first thing that happens to Paul and Silas when they go preach in Macedonia is? Spoiler alert, they get beaten and thrown into prison. It didn't start out well. But ultimately what happened is the prison guard comes to faith. And they get out in the city of Philippi where they are. They establish a church and they move on to Thessalonica and Corinth and Berea and Athens and Ephesus. And they plant churches where God's people flourish, even under persecution. Adverse results are not a sign that you are not in line with the will of God. Don't be discouraged if doing the will of God is tough. Jesus can relate. There are two things that we know. And the first is from pop wisdom, and the second is from Scripture. The first one is this. The most significant things in life are rarely easy, right? Anything that's worth doing is tough, is a challenge, but it's a challenge worth undertaking. You don't need the gospel to know that. But you do need the gospel for the second one. You do need Jesus for the second one. The second one is this. The Holy Spirit of God is present in everyone who places their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. And this is a spirit of power. When you live in step with the Spirit, you live in the power and in the presence of God in your everyday lives, at the coffee shop, at work, at school, at the dinner table. And this is a spirit that will not lead you astray. He will lead you to live the life that he created you to live. God's invitation to you today is not an invitation to a quiet life safely within the moral bumpers of Judeo-Christian ethics. It's not an invitation to be a decent person. It's an invitation to live in step and in the power of the Holy Spirit, to see a world that is transformed and reconciled to God by the love of Jesus Christ. It is so much greater than just being a good person. Here's what it boils down to. Many of us settle for living moral lives, for generally just being good people, and forego asking the question, God, what is your will for my life today? With my time, with my relationships, with my conversations, what is your will? He calls us to live in step with the Holy Spirit. God has a plan and a purpose for this world that we live in, and a plan and a purpose for us. Here is a community, as the family of God, and for you as an individual. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. What is God saying to you today? And what are you going to do about it? As we've done in other weeks during this series, we're going to spend some time as a group in silent prayer. Take this time to ask God to speak to you. God, are there things in life that you want me to stop? God, are there things in life that you want me to start? Areas where you want me to be abundantly fruitful? Ask God to speak to you and show you his will. And if anything comes to you during this time, write it down on the back of your bulletin. Take it with you. Because God's voice always merits a response. Let's take some time in silent prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that each and every day it would be our desire to do your will, God, to seek out what you would have us do in our lives, and to boldly do so in the power of the Holy Spirit. God, you are good, you are faithful, you are loving, and you are a living God, a God who speaks. And so, God, we pray that we would be a people who listen. In Jesus' name, amen.